Okay, the first question, and this refers to the idea of the special ed department being a lone ranger. Have departments of special ed been lone rangers, would you say, nationally?
I think they have, at least in part, and I think there have been some reasons for it. As the public schools have traditionally separated exceptional children from the mainstream, and so many of the faculties in special education been raised in their professional adolescences, so to speak, in segregated public school and institutional programs, separatism had become a way of life. And there are other factors that enter into this, probably mainly for good reasons, but you know, there are some negatives to this. Special education departments and universities, especially in some of the better universities and colleges, have received stronger support for their training and research programs than have some of the other departments in school education. And the support systems have tended to keep them separate.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, and it's related to the second, this is a bias. Because of the supports, because of the vigorous activity within the field during the post-World War II period, I'm not sure it's because that these are specially dedicated and contrasted with other groups that ready to admit that. But my impression is that special education faculties at good universities have usually been stronger faculties than other.
So they're more research-oriented, more...
Especially in some of the special education fields, they've either been more research-oriented or they've taken more seriously the scholarly mission of the university. There have been more research opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there have been more research opportunities. Possibly graduate students in special ed have received somewhat better research training than in some other fields, more support for their research. But that's very uneven. There are obviously faculty and students in all of the areas that have at least equal special ed faculties. There has also been strong national as well as local lobbies for handicapped people to this day, which seems to have coalesced groups. There's more of, I think, a togetherness and a oneness of purpose in special education implementation needs. It causes, as a result, strong spirit, high morale within the group, separateness, clannishness, which one observes even in one's own person.
Do you predict now with the mainstreaming mandates that there's going to be a change?
Sure. There'll be a change for several reasons. More and more special education faculties, this one, for example,
will get larger?
No, I'm not sure about getting larger. Possibly the opposite. More and more special education faculties are beginning to understand that there have been many disabled children and adults who have been unnecessarily separated from the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly this faculty is very keenly aware of that, and this division, as a matter of fact, has been one of the international leaders in developing public policy related to disabled people, and we have been very strongly for development of deinstitutionalization programs, for example, for the handicapped, and mainstreaming or integration programs in public schools. Now, with this realization comes the understanding that mildly and more moderately, less severely disabled may associated with certain kinds of support systems, but that do pretty well in the regular grades, and in some respects better in the regular grades than in special classes. Not only will they do better, but some of the typical children and typical teachers. And we're beginning to realize that the way to promote integration of mildly and moderately handicapped is not by training more and more special ed teachers to integrate, but by training regular class teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, as the Bureau for Education, the Handicapped Grant Program, called the Dean's Grant Program, which gives to a college dean, support to develop in regular elementary and secondary programs, training for regular teachers. And we will be applying for
courses. When will that come out?
That started a couple of years ago. And we'll be putting in an application early this fall. And I suspect we can do okay on that. We have a very strong special ed department, and we have also some very interesting elementary and secondary groups here. And aided to that is the Williams and Bradamus bill that President Ford signed into law last November, which, as if I understand it, federal appropriation, almost reached ceiling approved budget next year. And that is $370 million will be coming to the states to be disseminated to local communities, and possibly as much as $3.1 billion will be coming by 1982. Now, this will bring to the states money to do several things. To provide education for all children in the state. There will be no children rejected from receiving education. Secondly, to provide such education, that's called a least restrictive environment, in that rehabilitation or education program that's least segregated. For the states to be eligible, they must show by their plan and their implementation that they are, in fact, not excluding or exempting disabled children.
So that means they may have to build ramps for buildings or things like that?
And secondly, that they will not necessarily segregate children, which means that mildly handicapped children may have places for them in regular classes. Otherwise, they won't get those funds. Now, special educators, therefore, are beginning to reassess their roles. The third, which I'll get to in a moment, the third or fourth stimulation to breaking down this exclusiveness is the priorities of the Bureau for the Education of the Handicapped itself, which has for the last few years posed that priority should be given very young children and is feeling of handicapped. That is telling special education college, college programs, that they probably should focus their attention on severely multiple handicapped and young.
Mm-hmm.
Almost translates to severely multiple. Or most of the mild problems are not really there for young children. There are some, for example, mental retardation. While mental retardation doesn't usually manifest itself as a problem when a child is in school, a child is born with a infancy develop some kind of severe mental retardation, then anything that is going to be severe and multiple is going to be physiological difficulties as well. Mild mental retardation doesn't really attain until a child's school age. Some have even suggested that they're not, even retarded when they have children. That the retardation comes from some kind of cumulative environmental deficit, some blunted environment that accrues by the time the child's school age has deficient language and deficient skills. And so colleges and universities, such as in Kentucky, for example, with Jim Torney's project and some of the other things that are doing there, I think they're gearing up for the university and they are trying to help regular elementary and secondary programs do better in the way of consciousness raising and orientation and some skill building. All of that should break down those barriers.
Would you say then that it should be a joint responsibility to train people for handling both students in special ed and elementary ed or secondary ed to handle those problems type of children that they're going to be dealing with then? So it should be a joint responsibility?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the best of all worlds, these kinds of things are always should be joined as practical matters.
Can you think of a practical way, like, for example, one course,
well,
two courses that everybody takes?
I think it should be more than a course. I think that there probably should be some basic theoretical orientation, some basic courses, possibly the basic course in exceptionality. Specific disabilities would get at some of the important theoretical issues in this field, that is, these labels as metaphors and psychological problems of people with disabilities, and even some of the technical definitions of what they mean. But there also ought to be some carefully supervised clinical experience with a lot of opportunity to learn how to observe and learn how to separate one observation. Means and to get good post-mortem on case studies and observations of children and groups of children and families. So there ought to be some kind of input like that in the regular elementary or secondary program, and to that degree it's joint. I think where they probably would be separate is in the training of teachers or clinicians with severely and multiply disabled people, the major responsibility would probably be on the special educators. In the same way, the rest of elementary or secondary training, it would be nice if special ed could, you know, be involved, but they're not particularly equipped to, you know, to be that much help. I think some special ed people can be a real help in training regular grade teachers on how to observe and how to discuss and understand what that observation means. I've noticed over the years that teachers, whether they're special or elementary, know little about child development, little about observational procedures, know little about how to search for understanding. Haven't had courses in that area. Most of the problems you see, you haven't had a course in it. And yet, if you've had some basic training in psychology and pedagogy, you should be able to search through understanding the problem even though you haven't had a course in it. So, I would see meaningful collaboration in this one big area called mild and moderate handicap. I can see eventually major responsibility for such children falling in the regular elementary and secondary areas, with special educators providing some very important collaboration in those areas.
When you think of, you know, for example, here at Syracuse, the reading clinic and the actual teaching of reading, diagnosing, prescribing, diagnosing there is really a generic thing that you could apply to something like math or. So that might be a key area to use for the diagnosing, the observations, which would be a joint course, really, of ideas and theory that could be maybe related.
You know how university groups, especially included, carve out their domain.
And their domain, yeah.
University groups solve problems. When a university group has a problem,
they add another course or a professor. the Congress or the state legislature passes another law, or the Bureau of Management of the Budget pushes to get the taxes raised or whatever, you see, by the university people, they add another course or one another professor or a new program. And so we got a lot of good education, a lot of good mm-hmm. Probably some of it is good, some of it is wrong.
Do you think for certification in New York State they'll mandate that special ed students take so many courses in reading from the elementary curriculum?
Well,
and
they have
elementary?
I think they're going to do away with that kind of thing. Now, undoubtedly, special ed students and other aid students will take courses in reading. Until recently, everyone who was certified in New York State 6 hours of reading.
Mm-hmm.
With the new CBTE certification, the college develops a program and it is approved by the State Department of Education. Anyone who wants to read that program is certified.
Mm-hmm.
If the college recommends that person to Albany. Right now, there's kind of a in-between period until colleges are on board with the CBTE programs. Those who are on board CBTE really have to make the college CBTE program. Where the college has not been so approved, or the person comes from out of state, or has taken some courses here, some courses there, that person can apply directly to the state. Maybe those who have applied directly might still be required to take the 6 hours of reading. Those who
go through the CBT.
Depends on what the college had designed as its curriculum. In our special ed, we still need to be required for 6 hours of reading.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe, like here at Syracuse, how or if the special ed program has changed at all for mainstreaming in this area of learning diagnostic skills and field experience?
Well, yeah. At least in the last 5 years, we have a very strong mission of field-based learning. Our undergraduate program begins with the sophomore, had begun with the sophomore year of field-based experience. This is a new program, I believe, that there is now the opportunity second semester freshman to get some of that. But there is a field component for the second semester of freshman year going through observation in community schools to a sophomore orientation program at various agencies and schools that deal with the handicapped, to a junior experience in our psychoeducation clinic to senior student teaching. Right through the PhD, there's something here. This has been part of an integral part of over the 7 years. The interrelated program itself was in the interest of decategorizing these narrow pigeonholes into MR and EE and what have you. That was accomplished about 4 or 5 years ago. Our undergraduates have a much more generic and general.
Rather than being just narrowed as I'm only a certain type of educator.
They could take a more work in motion disturbance or MR, and many of them do it. They take basic work and clinical experience in several areas, retardation, disturbance, discipline. They could also take a 12-hour, what's called a minor experience, in some very specialized programs, such as the aged handicapped, or on the other end of the spectrum, the very young handicapped child, or an advocacy, or mainstreaming itself, or an open school there. There's a 12-hour block where they can put together. Minor concentration, which is very attractive. But they won't any longer be duly certified in elementary and special. We had to. We want them very much for them to continue to do certification, but because of the CBTE requirements, elementary SF, they had to meet all of the CBTE requirements for the elementary certified teacher, and they just could do it.
I remember seeing your packet of competencies from out in the...
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
So, you know, we just couldn't, we just couldn't do that or the other. So they're going to be special ed certified. Now, until the state does away with applying directly to the state for certification, that may take 7 years, our students can apply directly to the state for elementary certificate. And with what they've had with us, they'll probably get
it. Still be able to get it.
Yeah. But special ed will get through us.
Have you ever used the teaching centers as a special ed?
They use it as part of their elementary student teaching. The problem with the teaching center is for special ed, there are too few handicapped children.
In the schools.
You can't give all, you see, they've got one special class or something, so we can't put a load of our students there. See, we have to spread our students over many schools because there's such small
ones.
Much harder. The only way you can use the teaching center is by going into an institution or a segregated school. We don't really do that. We do select the numbers of our students in those places. We don't want to do that kind of.
Has there been, you know, where the teaching centers are located, has there been any change in the schools accommodating special ed pupils because of the mainstreaming? Whether that would be a runoff
effect. It's a real problem, I'll be honest with you, in New York State. From my perspective, I think that because of BOCES, which is otherwise done some very good stuff, you know, BOCES.
Yeah.
In some communities, it's 10% of gay children. As a result, there probably is less information of disabled children. Because of this intermediate kind of district thing and a separate authority.
It starts at ninth grade? Or does it start earlier?
It starts in primary special class.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Special services.
Wow.
See, it may start in ninth grade for vocational ed, but it's vocational, career ed, as well as special ed. It started with primary kids. And in some communities, it's removed the problem of exceptional children from the community. Now, others, it hasn't. JD has lots of special programs. Others don't.
Now, is New York any under a requirement now to change that?
I don't know. They're kind of stuck in a funding pattern and also a building pattern. They've got separate schools. Most of them state, that's not uncommon. They went out along out with a couple of
Did Syracuse buy the location at the, you know, the other side of Thompson's Road? I know they were renting it one time.
They just built them on cars. That's a city.
If we educate teachers to the mainstreaming concept, and then in effect states, you know, aren't mainstreaming.
Some are, some aren't. It's going to take a long time.
Do you think we're ahead of the ballgame?
Where, New York?
Yeah.
No. New York? I don't think so.
How about other states? Wisconsin, maybe?
Wisconsin, I think. Well, Wisconsin may be coming along all right. I think Minnesota has a good state law. Massachusetts has a great law. Unravel. Bureaucracy. That's Chapter 766. Some of the states have passed good legislation. I don't know if New York is ahead of the game. I tend to think they're not. There are certain things that they're against it. They've got a model of the MRG system, a lot of kids in institutions who are not going to public school for education. It also has a statewide BOCES system that, in a sense, promotes segregation in that it supports a system outside of the regular school program. I'll be honest with you, I worry about it even in vocational ed and career ed. You know, people say it's all equal and those kids are as good as the others and thought about as well. Well, I don't know if that's so. I have three boys who went through the FM schools. I believe that's not fair. What do you guys think about the BOCES kids? My kids are very nice, very sensitive. They won't talk about anybody. One who just graduated college. And I said, well, you know, that lots of times we hear them say that those kids there, a lot of kids who just not smart enough for college.
Mm-hmm.
The kinds that you sometimes look at. Now, that troubles me. That troubles me why we need alternate school systems, why the Fayetteville Manly school system can't develop career ed programs in its own comprehensive high school system.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why the school system didn't, and the state made it easy for that, this would have been, the state would make it equally easy for this point by having to stay.
Right there. Uh-huh.
So I think that there are some problems with mm-hmm. the state.
Answered just about all these. Most of the specific questions that I had to the problem of the departments, the actual training, I think you've answered well. Is there any, you know, thing else that you can think of in commenting?
Well, yeah, maybe I ought to mention that one of the reasons gives hope that mainstreaming will become more than another slogan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a natural matter. We have so many of federal and state professional slogans have is that there is a growing, incredibly vigorous consumer. Parents, and also of the clients themselves. I have a book, a novel coming out in August. It's called We Both Have the Idiots. It's about the state school.
Did you write this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's Revolt of the Idiots, did you say?
Yeah. And the book was completed about a year and a half ago, but you know how long it takes to publish.
Yeah.
There's now a case that's being up to the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court, Bartley versus Cremins, where the clients themselves at state school and state hospitals, children, are suing, or their advocates are suing for them, for the right to have due process hearings on their commitment to the state school that their parents committed them to. That there's question now of whether even parents petition for commitment should not receive due process hearing. That parents don't always have the objective good of the child. Now, you know, that kind of case is fraught with problems. You know?
Mm.
My child goes to college and he just picked the school out of his hat. I had something to do with that too, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I encourage
him,
I supported him. And I said, Steve, I really think you ought to talk to such and such a school, Colby, and such and such. Mm-hmm. Such. Okay, you know,
yeah.
It's a negotiation discussion. You know, parents do, and this is an adult, a very bright adult that I'm talking about. And, you know, parents have a right to make decisions. And where the parent right ends and child right begins, that's it's an ambiguous, hard, difficult, probably never resolvable problem. But those are the kinds of questions that are now being dealt with in the courts. And there'll be more of them. And there are national advocacy groups across the country, including our own Center of Legal Policy, spurred on by consumers that are now demanding equal rights, due process hearings, least restrictive environments, choices, alternatives, as never before. Access to information, per se, representation on boards and policymaking groups. So I think mainstream
just a notion of a kid in the classroom, but a kid in society and life, really.
Hmm. That's fascinating. Do you have any suggestions, really, where an article of this would cause an impact,
sure.
Maybe?
Exceptional Children. That would be Dr. Angela, A-N-G-E-L, Thomas. Has a circulation of about 65,000-70,000. Well, it was a very good journal. They reduced the journal's size because of the budget, I guess. I think it was a better journal. Mm-hmm. She's a good person. That might be a good place to submit.
Is that a referee journal? Or is
yeah,
that?
Mm-hmm. It's a journal of the Council for Exceptional Children.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one. Journal of Special Education be another thing that doing stuff on. In fact, I have an article in the whole issue of behavioral disorders journal, another journal of perception, as you can see, just on the whole issue of information.
Hmm.
This came out of the last month of the issue. I have a chapter. There are many journals that would be interested, I think. CEC would be one. Exceptional Children would be one. Mental Retardation would be one if you're focusing on MR. It's a journal, that's a journal of the American Association. The editor is Dr. Sue Warren. Get her address. Journal. But she's at Boston University. I know the journal very well. I'm president of the American Association.
I saw that in the write up on you on the bulletin board out there.
Was it write up on the bulletin board?
Yeah, there's one on. Yeah.
Where
did it go?
The record or something?
Yeah, Surface Record. That's what it was. Someplace I have.
So good luck on it.
Well, thank you.
You want to send me the article of the Galactic Critique and get it back to you?
Okay.
If